Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is, everybody say, in thee. He said, we're in Christ Jesus, and because of that, there's something in you. I'm calling to remembrance the faith that is in you, which dwelt first, that faith that was in Timothy, because he is in Christ Jesus, that faith dwelt first in, everybody say, in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded. I hope by the help of the Holy Ghost, somebody leaves here today a little more persuaded than you were before you came. He said, I am persuaded that in thee also that faith is, that was in your grandmother and in your mother. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. Sometimes when you don't have faith to believe, you have to stir up what's on the inside of you. You understand, I've got something on the inside, and maybe I'm going through something that took my faith away. He said, but sometimes, Timothy, when you're in tears and you don't have the faith, you have to stir up the faith that is in you. That's what we came in here to do today. That's why we came clapping our hands. We came to stir up the faith. That's why we came singing the song, because we came to stir up the faith. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you're dealing with fear today, that fear did not come from God. But the spirit that God gives is going to give you power and love and a sound. How many of you want a little more power, a little more love, and a little more sanity today? Be not therefore ashamed of thy testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God's telling him, Paul's telling Timothy here, God had a plan. Look at somebody next to you and tell him, God had a plan. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So he tells Timothy, because of this, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. That was in Christ, it was in Paul, it was in Timothy, it was in his mama, and it was in his grandmother. Look at somebody and ask them this question today: is it in you? Is what was in Jesus Christ in you today? Is what was in Paul in you today? Is what was in Paul's grandmother and great grandmother in you today? And if that is in you today, then why don't you go ahead and stir it up for just a moment? Somebody clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Somebody praise him for the victory. Somebody praise him in advance for the healing. Somebody praise him in advance for the deliverance. Come on, somebody magnify the Lord and lift him up higher than your trouble, higher than your discomfort, higher than your disease. Somebody lift him higher than cancer. Oh, come on, somebody lift him higher than depression. Praise God. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph one more time before you're seated in God's presence. I want to preach on this simple subject today. Is it in you? Let's go ahead and do this. We'll replace our bottle of water, and we're going to put a bottle of Gatorade up today. Is it in you? Paul is about to die. Now, Paul understood something. Don't go too far, musicians. Y'all can go get some water, take a bathroom break, and then we're just going to have church. Because we only get one opportunity to do this today, so we got to have church. Praise God. Paul is about to die. Paul is facing death, but he is not facing death with the same level of trepidation and anxiety that the rest of the world would face it. He has an embedded vision from God for his life. He understands who he is. He understands whose he is. He is filled with the Spirit of God. He is baptized in Jesus' name, and he has a purpose. And because of this, he's been living his life on purpose. And so he's about to check out, and he is prioritizing his life in a way that he is making sure Timothy understands that in his absence, there are some things that he has to have in order. He begins to talk to Timothy and remind him, penning this letter, reminding Timothy that there are some things that you have been exposed to that transcend the finite world. Because we understand that if you live in this life for any period of time, you're going to face sickness. Anybody ever been sick? If you're going to live in this life for any period of time, you're going to have disease in your life. Anybody had some disease in your life? In this life, you're going to have some financial problems. Anybody ever had financial problems? Come on, we have a number of people having surgery just this week. We're going to be praying for you. But we have sickness and disease and financial trouble and all kinds of things happening in our lives. But Paul is reminding Timothy that you have been exposed to some things that have the capacity to allow your life to transform. In the physical world, you have some things that are in you. You have some things that you have had embedded into your soul and into your psyche and into your life experience that allow you to transcend this life. Now, when I was younger, I didn't understand this passage of scripture in its fullness, but as I've gotten older and as I have a son sitting on the pew and a daughter on the pew, I understand the nature of this conversation. This is a father in the gospel who is talking to his son, and he wants to ensure that his son understands some things about life, and there's a paternal and heartfelt and emotional exchange happening in this conversation between Paul and Timothy, and somewhere in this he touches the heartbeat of God. God is concerned about his children. If you read the biblical narrative and you go back and study scripture, you understand that even at the very beginning, when God created the physical world and he shaped humanity and he bent down into the clay and he molded and made man, that God was concerned for humanity, and God shaped him and made him in his image and after his likeness. But in the process of that formation and that development, God breathed into Adam, and Adam took that first breath from God, and Adam became a living soul. That moment, something was embedded and infused into humanity that was bigger than just the fact that man had eyes and he had ears and he had nose and a mouth and an anatomical structure, bones and sinew and all of those things that would give his life form and function. He looked like what God would become through the man Christ Jesus. And that's what scripture meant when it said that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because in the plan of God, on the timeline of God, when God was looking at the human narrative, he understood that there would have to be a man that would come and die for humanity. So Adam looked like the man Christ, but it wasn't just his physiology, it wasn't just his natural construction that made him like God. There was something that was breathed into Adam that made him a sentient being. It gave him the ability to feel, and it gave him the ability to perceive a higher reality. And that ability is connected to our spiritual nature. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the multitude at one point in the story, he said, "No man can come to me except the Spirit draw or compel him." Well, when the Spirit begins to draw you and begins to compel you, it has to have something to hook itself onto. How many of you have ever had a dream from God? How many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night and you started crying and you realize I need a relationship with God? I would go so far today as to tell you that if you are here today, I don't care what your condition is. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your family of origin is. There's something on the inside of man. I know you think you came here on your own, but you got to understand something today. You belong to God. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. God has put something on the inside of you so that when He gets ready to begin to draw you, He can put the hook of His Spirit on the inside of you and begin to compel and draw you. That's why you're here today, because God wants to have a relationship with you. That's why you're here today, because the Creator of the universe saw fit to begin to draw you into His house today. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not just happenstance that you're here. God has brought you to the kingdom for this moment. God has made an appointment with you today. God wants to do business with you. So we are not like all other beings in the created world. And this is where science and the scientific community, a number of them anyway, have gotten off track. They think that we are the product of evolution, that they don't understand that there's something dimensionally higher in humanity that is not in the rest of the physical world. We have the capacity for a higher dimension of life. And this is why evolution is such an ignorant and shallow idea. I don't care who is proposing or a proponent of it. It is so off base. And God didn't breathe. He didn't breathe into monkeys. He didn't breathe into alligators. He didn't breathe into spotted owls. It's not our physical appearance that makes us special. It's what's going on the inside of us that matters the most. And that's why sociologists today categorizing people into groups based on the way that you look is such a broken idea, and it's so superficial, because there's something on the inside of you that's bigger than your socioeconomic stratus. There's something on the inside of you that's bigger than your gender. It's bigger than your ethnicity. It's bigger than your political affiliation. You were created by God, and God has a plan and a purpose for your life. It isn't just wrong, it's evil. At the foundation, I'm just telling you, Generation Z or Alpha or whatever they're calling you today, it's not just wrong, it is fundamentally evil. It is corrupting the human experience. There's something on the inside of us today that matters so much, much more than what is on the inside, on the outside. It produces a God nature and a desire for something more. There's something in us that is reaching out beyond finite existence, that is groping and grasping for God, is grasping for the unknown. One writer said it like this: if I have within myself a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, then maybe I was created for another world. There is a pattern in Scripture that shows us that it's not what is on the outside, but what is on the inside that matters to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:7, but we have this treasure, everybody say treasure, in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is why Jesus, when He came to the world, He did not come in a beautiful body. He didn't come in a way that would make you desire Him. He was not comely that we should desire Him, but He came and He was a common man. He was a carpenter. He was a normal guy. He was a walking paradox, because what you saw on the outside of Him was paradoxical in nature to what was happening on the inside of him. He was walking around just a common guy, and that's why the Pharisees could not see him. They could not accept him. They could not embrace him. But there was something brewing on the inside of him that was the very God of the universe. What you saw on the outside, you would not have been attracted to, but what you saw on the inside would have connected deeply to the part on the inside of yourself that says, I've been searching the world all over. I've been searching in the bar room. I've been searching in the brothel. I've been searching in every place known to man, and everywhere that I search, I can't find what I'm looking. I'm telling you, what is in this place today is the essence of the human journey. What is here today is what is at the end of every rainbow. What is here today is the answer to what every heart has been longing for since the beginning of time. He was not beautiful that you would desire him. On the outside, he was an average man, but on the inside, he said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. What kind of power was it? It wasn't political power that was living down on the inside of him, but it was power over every principality, power over every present spirit of darkness. It was power over the winds and the waves. It was power over cancer. It was power over sickness. It was power over disease. It was power to take up serpents and scorpions. But it was bigger than that. It was more powerful than that. Because in the process of his ministry, he would begin to tell people, thy sins are forgiven thee. It wasn't just the power over what was happening in the physical world, but it was power to absolve the human heart of what was broken on the inside. That power is here today. That anointing is here today. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how you came to the house of God. There's enough power in this place today to break the chains of effeminacy, to break the chains of fornication, to break the chains of adultery, to break the chains of generation. Come on, do I have a witness in this place today? Somebody that says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Come on, praise him, church. Praise him, that power is here, that authority is here, that anointing is here, that grace is here. Praise God. That's why the tabernacle wasn't beautiful on the outside. If you would have seen it from the outside, you would have denigrated it in comparison to all of the natural edifices of the world. All kinds of beautiful. Go to St. Peter or St. Paul's Basilica. Look around. Look up at the beautiful paintings and all of those types of things. But when he comes, he cloaks it. He veils it. He hides it. But I'm telling you, what was on the inside of that tabernacle was the power of God. It may have been clothed in badger skins. It may have not been the biggest church in town, but it was beautifully decorated on the inside. And at the very center of it was the Holy of Holies. The Word of God was there. Let me tell you, when you find a church, it may not be so pretty on the outside, but what you've got to make sure that it has on the inside, you've got to make sure that it has the Word of God, that somebody's preaching the truth, that somebody's preaching the standard of the Bible. The Word of God was on the inside of it. The provision of God, the mercy of God, and the authority of God. And most importantly, what you feel in this house today was the Shekinah of God. I'm telling you, where God's presence is, anything is possible. Where God's presence is, blind eyes can be opened. Where God's presence is, deaf ears can be unstopped. Where God's presence is, the dead can be raised to life again. In each of us at our birth, has something on the inside of us, a spark that represents the spark that started in Adam. Something radiating from the inside. The way that I view that spark, it's John 1 says it's the light that lights every man that enters into the world. You see, the atheist doesn't understand that. The agnostic doesn't understand that. They would say, well, you're just the product of the evolutionary process. But the animal doesn't have the spark on the inside. The animal doesn't have the conscience on the inside. But everybody born of woman comes into the world with the spark of God down on the inside of them. And that's why we can't get distracted today with all the political stuff going on in the streets, because we have to understand that people on both sides of the aisle belong to God, that God is compelling them. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican today. I've come to tell you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God can save you, that God can help you, that God can redeem you, that God can set you free by the power of the Holy Ghost. The light of God that lights every man, woman, boy, girl who enters into the world. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. I know what was in your mama. I know what was in your grandmother and what was given to you by the laying on of my hands. It is in you too. But he's concerned to make sure that what he has started in apostleship is going to continue in Timothy. Because if you look throughout Scripture, from the moment that God created humanity, life was given through the process of procreation, and that spark of God was transferred into every baby born. But the higher reality is that the kingdom of God comes in the same way. It comes through spiritual transfer. And it's important to understand that there is a point where each individual has to get it for themselves. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are today. You may be 13 and you may be 30, but the reality of it is that there has to be a point in your life where you get it for yourself. And that's what Paul was concerned about with Timothy. He was telling him, I know what was given to you. I know what was transferred to you. But if you read your Bible, you also see the example of Eli and his sons, and you see the example of Solomon and his sons, and you see the example of Samuel and his sons, and you understand that there is a point where maybe another generation doesn't grasp it for themselves, and maybe they don't internalize it, maybe they don't walk it out to the point that the kingdom of God is manifest and embodied in their life. And even the writer Solomon asked the question, how do I know that I have built all of these edifices and this kingdom and amassed all of this wealth, and that I will only transfer it to a fool? It's every parent's concern. It's the church's concern today that we raise children who have the capacity to carry what we've built into the future, that everything's gonna be okay. Not just the fear of death, but the idea that another generation will embody, will exude, will exemplify the kingdom of God in the earth. Even Jesus encountered this when he left his disciples on the earth, when he ascended into heaven, and then he returned to them. They begin to ask him questions like, will you at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? They were thinking naturally. They were thinking physically. They were thinking in a dimensionally lowered state. And Jesus had to adjust their perspective to see that there was a higher kingdom at work. They were looking for the physical restoration of the physical kingdom. He had walked with them. He had talked with them. He had eaten bread with them. He had been with them at every season of their life. And for 3 years, they practically lived with Jesus, with watching him perform miracle after miracle, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come. Were they believers? Yes, they were believers. Did they see the miracles for themselves? Did they experience the supernatural for themselves? Had they seen Jesus do the work? Yes. But let me ask you this question today. Is believing alone enough?
they were believers. They did believe on some dimensional level. They had walked with him and talked with him and been around him. They saw him as the manifest word of God. He even told them at one place, I have been with you, but I shall be in you. John 14 and 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. They knew him, they were with him, they had fellowship with him, for he dwelleth with you, but, everybody say but, he shall be, look at somebody next to you and tell him, he shall be in you. You've been walking with him, you've been hanging out with him, you've been talking with him, I'm telling you, there are people all over the United States, they've been around church, they've been around the miraculous, they've been around preaching, can I get some help on the organ, they've been around the supernatural, they've been around the things of God, but they've never had an experience where now he is in them. He said, guys, I've been with you for a long time, you've been hanging around the church, you've been hanging around the word, you've been hanging around the miraculous, you've been hanging around the supernatural, but there's coming a day, boys, where this is not going to be external for you anymore, but now you're going to have something living on the inside of you. It's not enough to come to church today and just sit on the pew. There's got to be a point in your life where you begin to drink of something that isn't a man-made doctrine. It's not enough today just to be in a place where the rain is falling, but at some point, you got to take a drink of something. You've got to get it down on the inside of you. You see, it wasn't enough for them to be with Jesus for 3 years. They were still waiting on the restoration of the kingdom. He had already told them the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. He said the kingdom of heaven doesn't come with natural observation. It's not low here or low there, but the kingdom is, it's within you. He was telling them something's coming that's more than a religious experience. Something's coming that's more than just coming to a church on a Sunday morning. Something's coming that's more than you watching the miraculous happen for somebody else. But you got to get to the point where you start drinking for yourself. You got to get to the point where you start imbibing for yourself. You got to get to the point where you take it. Come on, look at somebody next to you and ask them, is it in you? They had been talking about it. They had been walking with it. They had been exposed to it. They had been around it. Look at somebody next to you and tell them they were believers. They believed in him. They were getting progressive revelation. I'm going to tell somebody here today, you came here today because of a progressive revelation. You came here today because you've learned some things in your life, but you've got something on the inside of you that's just saying, maybe there's something more. Maybe there's more than what I've seen so far. Maybe there's more than what I've experienced. Let me tell you today, there's more. There's more. There's more. Come on, does anybody believe that? There's more. He had made some promises to them, and they believed the promises that he made, but they had not experienced the promises that were made. John chapter 7, in the last day, the day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth, everybody say believeth, on me. It's not enough to just believe, because you can believe and not receive. Because believing is something that happens in your mind and in your emotions. But there's got to be a point where your belief is engaged with your faith. And you say, I believe God can do it. But I don't just believe that he can do it. I believe that today is the day where not only is he just going to be the God who did it for somebody else, but today is going to be the day that I get filled with the Holy Ghost. Today's going to be the day that I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Today's going to be the day that I receive a miracle for myself.
See, I got people here today, you're still waiting on the punchline.
You came to church today and you just wanted to be, you wanted to hide in the crowd. You wanted to just make up the man. I'm here to tell you that before we leave today, God's going to heal somebody. I said, before we leave today, God's going to heal somebody. Before we leave today, God is going to break the chains of addiction for somebody. Before we leave today, God is going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. Come on, let it be you. Let it be you. Let it be you.
But if you believe on me, as the scripture hath said. See, there's believing that he is. There's believing that, listen, Islam believes that he's a prophet, baby. But we didn't come today to tell you that he's a prophet. He's not a master. He's not a teacher. But you've got to get believing to the degree that you understand that he is the teacher, that he is the master. He's not a way, he is the way. He is not a truth, he is the truth. He is not a light, he is the light.
As the scripture hath said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you get believing like the Bible says to believe, something can come down on the inside of you that is a supernatural. Listen, there are people that are still stuck in the Gospels. They don't know what to do with the book of Acts. But everything in the Gospels was pointing ahead to Christ. Not just Christ manifesting in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, but the Comforter coming to the earth, which was the Holy Ghost. I've come to tell somebody here today, everything in the Gospels, John the Baptist and Jesus were all pointing ahead to something that was coming. If you believe on him, as the scripture has said, out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost.
Will you say, no, it's just about believing? No. He said, something's coming that has not come already. Because the Holy Ghost was not yet poured out. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. All of the work that he came to do in the flesh, the work over sin, the work against death, hell, and the grave, where it's not finished until he was hanging on the cross at the end of the Gospels when he cried out with a loud voice and said, "It is finished." When it was finished, that's when the work of the Holy Ghost started. That's why when he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost, the veil in the tabernacle was torn in half. What was in the Holy of Holies was released to the rest of the world. And what that did is it released the power of the Holy Ghost to fill the whole earth.
You got to get to the point That's what he's telling Timothy. That's what he's dealing with in Romans chapter 1. That's what he's dealing with in 2 Timothy. He's telling him it's going to get bad, but do you want a drink? I tell you what, I'm not giving them. You got to get to the point where you say, I want it for myself. I want this message. I want this. Come on, you got to get desperate for it. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour. Woo! Come on, do you want it? You gotta say, I'm coming to drink. Come on, do you want it? Is it in you? Is it in you? That's why Peter denied him. Are you drinking yet? Don't wait. My goodness. You say the sign says to no food or drinks in the sanctuary. That's why Peter denied him. They thought when Jesus left, it was the end of the story. They went back fishing. He's like, well, if this is all there is to it, it's just believing. He said, no, Peter. There's something coming. They were hanging out in Jerusalem trying to figure out when the kingdom was going to come. He said, boys, y'all need to stop trying to figure out the day or the hour. You need to stop tripping over when the resurrection is going to happen. You need to stop tripping about when the rapture is going to happen. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father that I'm going to send in my name. He didn't send another. He didn't send Jehovah Jr. He didn't send a second in the Godhead. But God commended his love for us. While I was still a sinner, in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't tell him, I'm sending another comforter. He said, but I have been with you. I'm going to be on the inside of you. Look at somebody and tell them, I got Jesus living on the inside. And I've got Jesus working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in this place. There's a healing in this place. There's a deliverance in this place. John chapter 3, John chapter 4. He's talking to Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews. And he said, let me tell you something, bub. You got to be born again. This is not about your status. This is not about your social standing. This is not about who your mama is. This is not about who your daddy is. You got to be born again. He told the woman at the well, he said, I see you dipping. I see your bucket. I see you reaching for something. He said, but let me tell you something, mama. He said, you've been reaching for a long time. You've been dipping that bucket for a long time. He said, but there's a day coming. It's just around the corner when you're going. You're not going to be reaching down with that natural bucket, but you're going to have, because you got a bucket on the inside that has the power to draw water. He said, and if you drink of the water that I give you, you're never going to thirst again. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Ghost. He was talking about the power of God for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, for the supernatural, for the miraculous. Does anybody want it today? Does anybody want it today? Does anybody want it?
See, you're not going to get this kind of preaching all over town. But the apostle said, I didn't come to you today with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to tell you what I learned about in Bible college. I didn't come to tell you about what I learned at university. You know what? We could get the degree, and some people here have the degrees, but the degree didn't save me. The degree didn't redeem me. It wasn't the theological dissertation that changed my life. It was in a little apostolic church in South Louisiana when I was praying in a Sunday school room, and all of a sudden, something came over me and filled me with the Spirit of God. And when I got the Holy Ghost, I started talking in a language I never learned in school. Hey, does anybody say today, when God filled me with His Spirit, He changed me, He redeemed me. This is what we know. This is what we preach. This is the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the only message. It's the only way. The death, we die with Him in repentance. The burial, we are buried with Him in baptism. And the resurrection is we are resurrected with Him by the Holy Ghost. When you repent, you turn away from sin. You're not tired of it yet? You're not tired of the sin? How did it leave you? Saturday morning after the Friday night drunk, did it leave you feeling good? How did the affair? I'm not talking about in the moment. I'm talking about days and weeks and months down the road when your marriage was destroyed and your kids were scattered. Did that make it better? You got to repent. You got to turn. First of all, if you're going to repent, you have to know what sin is. The Bible says idolaters, fornicators, effeminate, drunkards, revilers, liars, cheat, deceivers, dishonest people. You know what though? You know what sin is. Because it's written in your heart. Why do you think everybody's out there on social media ranting and raving there is no God? They're not worried about whether there is or is not a God. They're worried about the Ten Commandments. What they're really worried about is if there is a God who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He's everywhere at once. He has all power and He knows everything. Then He really does see me when I'm sleeping. He really does know when I'm awake. He really does know. That's not Santa Claus, that's God. But God knew where you were Friday night. He saw you. And He drew you anyway. He saw you in the pit. He saw you in your sin.
As a matter of fact, he doesn't stand in time. He didn't just see you in your sin while you were in physical time Friday night. But he saw you Friday night at Calvary. And he said, while you're in your sin, I'm going to shed my blood for you. While you were making mistakes, while you were having the affair, I saw you. Adam, while you were eating the fruit, I saw you. And I made a way for you. Repentance is understanding that I am a sinner, that I am broken, that I'm messed up. And don't give me that business that all sin's the same. It's not the same. Because when you're in covenant with God and the blood has come over you in baptism, you open your mouth and you begin to confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But when you're not covered by the blood, you got business to do with God. Because you're outside of the covenant. And in the Old Testament, outside of the covenant means you're outside of the four walls of the nation of Israel. You're outside of the provision of the blood. You're outside of the provision of the sacrifice. You're outside of the ceremonial processes. But if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, today, the bad news is you're on the outside. The good news is we can fix it in 5 minutes. Somebody came this morning at about 6:50, I would guess, and turned the baptistry on. We actually have a heater in the baptistry. Because we believe in baptism. We don't just believe that baptism is a sign. We believe what the scripture says, and that is a like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, you can be baptized today in the name of Jesus. And when you come up out of the water, every sin you've ever committed is going to be washed away. But that's not the end of the conversation. Because God wants to live down on the inside of you. How many of you have thought in the last 6 months, I don't have the peace that I would like to have? Be honest, raise your hand. He told us in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but rejoice, I've overcome the world. That overcoming power, that power to overcome depression, it doesn't mean you're never going to feel anxious. It doesn't mean you're never going to feel depressed. It doesn't mean you're not going to have random suicidal thoughts. That's the enemy telling you that if you're saved and you're in the church, you're never going to feel those things. But the power is power to overcome depression. The power is the power to overcome anxiety. David said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Jesus said, the Comforter has come. It's the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is poured out, Acts chapter 1, they're waiting for it. Jesus told them to wait for it. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem until the promise comes. So they're in Jerusalem and they're waiting for the promise. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, 120 people gathered in an upper room. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all, everybody say all. They were all, everybody say all. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Because when you get the Holy Ghost will change what you say. The tongue is the most unruly member of the body. Paul said it's like the rudder of a great ship. If you can, how many of you have complete mastery of your tongue? He's still working on me. But he said the Holy Ghost is like the rudder of a great ship. He said if you can control the rudder, you can control the whole ship. Now, how ironic, maybe not so ironic, is it that God would fill his church with the Spirit, and when they got the Holy Ghost, God took control of their tongue, because the tongue is directing the body. The Bible said life and death is in the power of your tongue. The Bible said by your words you are justified, and by your words you are condemned. Let me tell somebody, when I got the Holy Ghost, God changed my language. The things I used to say, I stopped saying. The things I used to think, I stopped thinking them. God changed the way that I talked. But he also changed the way that I walk. Come on. God wants to change somebody's walk today. God wants to pick you up out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, is it in you? What's about to happen, there's faith in this place today. What's about to happen is some people here who need the Holy Ghost are going to receive the Holy Ghost. What's about to happen here today is that some people who have never been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, you're going to get baptized today. What's about to happen is some people who came in here sick are leaving here healed. The power is here. The anointing is here. The demonstration is here. But somebody has to get aggressive and make up your mind today. I came today to have a move of God. I came today to get delivered. I came today to see God reverse some things in my life. So what we're going to do right now, I want everybody to close your eyes. I want you to think about your life for just a moment. I want you to think about your lifestyle, where you've been, what you've been doing. I want you to think about the things that God has been dealing with you about that you know in your life are not like him. The attitudes, the dispositions, the failure, the mistakes, the places that you've been going physically, the places that you've been going emotionally, the thought of taking your own life. The self-resentment. Come on, there's somebody here today that you have walked right up to the edge. And you've been feeling the tug to take your own life. We're going to repent today. Every person here is going to repent of everything in us that is not like God. And after you repent, I want you to lift up your hands. And I want you to begin to worship God. And God's going to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. But let me tell you what else is going to happen in this place. There are people here today that are going to be healed by the power of the name of Jesus. As you are speaking the words, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. As the words are coming out of your mouth, the healing is going to begin. The deliverance is going to begin. The breakthrough is going to begin. In the name of Jesus, every hand lifted, every hand lifted, every hand lifted. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would cleanse us today. Come on, begin to pray. God, forgive me for every deed, God. Every thought, every imagination, God. God, forgive me for the things I've done. Forgive me for everything I've done, God, that's not like you today, Lord. Forgive me for the attitudes, oh God. Forgive me, God. God, forgive me for the things I've done with my hands, Lord. Forgive me for the things I've done with my lips, oh God. Forgive me for the things that I've... Come on, that's it. Come on, let it be from your heart. Somebody repent right now. I need the church to cry out. I need the church to cry out right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Cleanse in this place, oh God. Cleanse in this place, oh God. Cleanse in this place, oh God. Every home, in the name of Jesus. Every life, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Dig deep right now. Pray a prayer of repentance. God, wash me, Lord. God, cleanse me from my iniquity, God. Everything in my life that's not like you, God. Every attitude that's not like you, oh God. Create a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, God. Wash my home. Come on, if you're a husband, pray a prayer of repentance over your family. God, wash my family, God. Cleanse us, oh God. Create within us a clean heart, Lord. Renew a right spirit within us, oh God. Make the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart, God, acceptable in your sight, God, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you need a miracle right now, go ahead and step out of your pew and begin to make your way to the front. If you need deliverance today, go ahead and make your way down to the front. Somebody move down to this altar. Come on, if you're standing next to somebody and their hands are lifted right now, why don't you go and pray an anointed prayer? Come on, church, help me. Help me. In the name of Jesus. 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 Yes, anda rakashataba. Rombaye sandarabakia rabasondolosa. Wash this place, oh God. Every life, God. Every home, oh God. Every family, oh God. Do the work. Do the work. Redeem, God. Robashatarabakandarabahaye. Robashandarabakendeleasatabaha. Oh. Open up a portal, oh God. Open up a portal, oh God. Oh, Masatarabaha. Rakashandabaha. Hey, Masatarabaha. Come on, I need the church to help me pray right now. I need the church to help me pray right now. Oh, Satarabaha. Come on, church, I need you to help me pray right now. Help me pray for my brother Michael in the name of Jesus. God, I plead the blood of Jesus right now. Rabaha sandaha. Indehe. Heal my brother Michael in the name of Jesus, God. Let God arise in his heart and mind and spirit, God. Take up residence, oh God. Heal everything that's broken, God. Heal everything, God, that's broken. Heal everything that's broken. Come on, that's it, church. That's it. Find somebody to pray with right now. Find somebody to pray with right now. Come on. God's ready to do a work. God's ready to do a work. Come on, that's it. God's doing a work all over this place right now. The Holy Ghost is moving in people's lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, open your spirit up right now. Open your spirit up right now. Somebody drank deep of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is moving right now. Itoho, itaha, ribaha, sandaha, yay. That's it. That's all. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, the Holy Ghost is being poured out right now. The Holy Ghost is being poured out right now. There's healing in this place. There's deliverance in this place. There's divine authority in this place. Rabashatarabaha. Robokondarabaseteataha. Robasataha. Runahaye. Indehe. baptized in this place, find somebody and tell them, we'll put you down in the water in the name of Jesus. Come on and wash all of your sins away. There's some people who are getting delivered right now. We've had some people talking in other tongues here this morning as the Spirit gives the utterance. Come on, that's it. If you're not praying with somebody, find somebody to lay hands on right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody begin to rejoice in this place. Somebody begin to rejoice. You may feel like dancing right now, but there's victory in this house. Come on, let the Spirit of God flow up out of you. Somebody talk in tongues. There's victory in this house right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost isn't finished working. Somebody put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Come on, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Come on, you might want to find you a dancing partner. Find somebody to shout with. Grab somebody by the hand and tell them, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. It's on the inside. It's down on the inside. Come on, we got somebody going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. It's time for a Holy Ghost party. Come on, if you need to get baptized, why don't you make your way to the back? Come on, they'll help you. We'll put you down in the water in the name of Jesus. It's revival time in the house of God. Thank you. Come on, go ahead and look at somebody next to you and tell them, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, give I thee. You don't have to have a bank full of money if you've got the Holy Ghost. Because your daddy owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Something good is about to happen. I feel like something good is on its way.
Receive the Holy Ghost, and three are being baptized in the name of Jesus. It's revival time in the house of God. Something to come up out of the water talking in tongues. I need somebody to shout. We've got some people that still haven't gotten the Holy Ghost. I believe he's going to get it in the name of Jesus.